I am going to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14. We are, it is a salvation sermon. So those of you who feel like you got that under control, you can go to sleep. Don't do it. What's that old hymn? It says, "For those who know it best, sing hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest." You're going to hear it today. And that's just going to be it. This is a great, great, great passage. "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify us for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works." Man, heaven or hell. If you believe in the Bible, it's heaven or hell. It's one or the other. There's no in between. It's heaven or hell. And here is the deal. You are unable to get there on your own. You are unable to get there on your own. You are, it's Jew, Gentile, slave, free, everyone is equal at the cross. There are no anyone better than anyone else. We're all equal when it comes to the cross of Jesus Christ. We none of us deserve it. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For everyone fails Christ. Everyone falls short of his glory. Everyone is equal at the cross. Amen. That's right. Listen, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. It's as simple as that. He did. He died. He was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And God's grace, it was God's grace that was at work in that. It was God's grace that was at work in him bringing salvation. You see, he had to bring it to us. We couldn't make it happen ourselves. We are so... I'm trying to not use church word, but I'm going to have to use church word, okay? Because it's the only word I can think of. We are so depraved. We are so in such a sinful state. We are in such a wrong and terrible state that we can't even seek God on our own. We don't even seek him. We don't even want to know him. We don't even get to know him. We don't do anything on our own. His grace had to bring salvation down to mankind, and he had to show it to us. He must. He must. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He must bring it. Look at what it teaches us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and there's one more. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil age. Soberly, righteously. He teaches us, first of all, that we are that we are to deny unworldly lusts and Let me back up, get this right. He teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we need to deny these things. We need to make that decision once and for all. We need to deny them. Now listen, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You're going to start going this way and you're going to fall and you're going to slip and you're going to stumble probably every day. But the key is that you get up and every day you keep going. The key is every day you keep following. Listen. If you say you're saved, but you have never desired to follow Christ, I would question that salvation. Amen. we want to be like Jesus. We're not. Don't get me wrong, we're not. But we desire that. That's in our hearts. It's in our lives. It's in our DNA. It's something about who we are is in our DNA. We're to live soberly. We're to live self-righteously, self-controlled. I mean, we're to have self-controlled conduct. We're to be in control of our own lives. We're not to be out there living our lives out of control. We're not to have no control over our lives. We're to live upright. We're to live in a conduct that can't be condemned. We're to be upright in our lives. We are to seek we're to live godly lives. We are to seek godliness, seek to please Him, seek to please God at every turn and at every way. Galatians 1:4. Hold on to this one as well. We'll come back to it in a little bit. He who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God our Father. You see, it's kind of like the song we sang the last song. This age is evil. This age, this time, this period is an evil one, and it shows in our lives. It shows in our church. It shows in who we are as a people of the gospel. We've compromised the gospel, and we are to live lives that please God. Now, don't let me convince you. Be saved. Amen. Give your life to Christ. Let Christ convince you. Let Christ convince you to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Let Christ convince you to honor Him. There's another passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I feel sorry for you people who think that our problem is political. That's right, I said it. I feel sorry for y'all who think that our problem is political. Our problem is not political. Our problem is spiritual. Our problem is that we don't battle against Satan and against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's who our battle is with. That's who our battle is against. And that's why we need, this isn't the full armor of God sermon, but that's why we need the full armor of God. That's why we need to put it on. That's why we need to pray. If the church, I've been talking about repentance, and if the church needs to pray about anything, it is about its lack of prayer. If you and I need to pray about anything, repent about anything, it's about prayerlessness. It's about prayerlessness. We listen, I'm in the same boat you are, first of all, okay? Often. Why do we need to pray about that? It's so easy. All you have to do is pray. I don't know. I know that the enemy is the one thing that if he can keep us from praying, that we'll be a defeated people. We'll live less than victorious. We'll live like we're living. Amen. Why do we want to put our mind on the things of this world? And on the things that aren't going to matter. The things that, you know, you all talk about, you older people, you talk about it all the time, about how life is just, you wake up one day and you turn around and here you are and you're 70 years old and before you know it, I mean, what's going on? And you young people, you don't believe it. I didn't believe it until just a few years ago. You know, you just think you're invincible. Listen, all this stuff, everything that we give our lives to and for, toward and for, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. It's going to burn. We're going to die. We're going to leave it behind. It's not going to be ours anymore. And if it lasts till Jesus comes, it's going to burn. We need to put our minds on the things of God and on the things of this world. Not this world, the things that are not of this world, but on Christ. There might be a sermon coming on that. We're all in bondage. We're all under bondage. We're all in chains. And it's time to say yes to Christ. It's time to say yes to God. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. And say yes to Him. The Bible is our, listen, it's the complete love letter of God to us. And it is calling us and calling men everywhere to be saved. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit calls everyone to be saved. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come. Come, Jesus, come. Come. How can I even expand on that? I don't know. But it says that we're to be looking for His appearing, that the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to do all these things. And one of those things is to look for His appearing, to love His appearing, and to want Him to come. It's all about come. Come. Gives us some more examples there of who Jesus is. He gave Himself for us. Christ redeemed us from the redemption. He reset our freedom by paying a price. He paid a price that set us free, and He set us free, and He paid the price, and now we owe Him. Now, I can't even say it like that. We ought to just love Him. We ought to just love Him. And to just follow Him. He purifies us. He makes us clean. God makes us clean. You don't make yourself clean. God makes us clean. He makes us clean so that we can be His treasured possession. Well, how does it say it in here? His own special people. That's His treasure. We are His treasured possession. Zealous. Zealous to do good works. Eager to do good. Change attitude. Change appetites. Change ambition. Change action. That's what we need. Every one of us. Every one of us needs that. Change our attitude, our appetites, our ambitions, and our actions. We need Him. We need Christ. We need Him to change us, making us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. We need it. We need it. Stand up with me if you would. That was fast. Sit down. No. Listen, the message, say yes to Jesus. Would you? Would you just say yes to Him? That's all He wants. That's all He asks. That's all He requires, is a simple Yes. 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 The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously in this present age. Come into my heart. We're going to sing. You come while we sing.